You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Woo! If you're watching on ESPN 2 ESPN News, Jay Will reacting to a virtuoso performance from the King on and off the floor.
Also mad today, Zubin.
Was that a performance? Was that really a performance?
For him through three quarters?
Man, come on, man. That was so easy.
Here's the bottom line, guys. We talked about Logo Lillard. Last night it turned into Logo LeBron. You heard it right off the top from 45 feet. The Lakers win. They're up 3-1, but they were also up to talk about something else after the game, not just LeBron, but the other big stars in the NBA, which we'll get to in just a second with Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. I'm Zubin Mehenti. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And as Jay indicated, Jay, I'll go to you right off the bat. This is not going to be an ordinary show today because, again, we've got another extraordinary day in America. To many people, an extraordinarily tragic day, another tragic week in this country that LeBron touched on. I know you want to touch on. We'll talk about it over the next 4 hours. It's about hoops and it's about so much more. Let's just get your initial thoughts before we hear from the King and others who are weighing in on things much bigger than basketball.
Yesterday was a hard day for me. It was a hard day for our country. And first and foremost, I send the most sincere prayers to Jacob Blake's family. It is a blessing and a miracle that he is alive and that he is in fair condition in the hospital. Yesterday, once again, just kind of proved that, seeing how, and I'm not saying all cops are bad cops, but the amount of black men that are killed that in all these situations should have been de-escalated in front of his three kids. 3, 5, and 8 years old, psychologically stained forever, Key, watching your father shot in the back. Now, reports, there was a scuffle, headlock, he was reaching for a knife. Okay, de-escalate the situation, tackle him, take him down. You don't grab him by the back and shoot him seven times in the back in broad daylight. And if there wasn't video, it's just another black man killed. And for anybody out there that uses the defense mechanism that I hear a lot of Caucasian people use by saying, white people die every single day too. Nobody should die like that. Nobody should be treated like that. And that only escalates the situation for our conversation, Key, having the platform that we have. We spoke about how we felt about Montrezl Harrell and something like that the other day, just like we can talk about this today and how big this is and how it only perpetuates the bigger problem that we have in this country because this happens, it feels like, more and more and more.
Man, it's like every single day. It really is. And it's getting to the point, obviously we continue to say we're tired of this happening. And if it wasn't for video, where is it at? Like, what are we saying? It's like, somebody got shot. Anything could happen. And you talk about, like Jay was saying, people try to use the excuse of, white people die every day. They get shot. More people. They start bringing up statistics about nobody should be gunned down like a dog in the middle of the streets. Like animals. Like, no one should be treated that way. And it's wild because you could have very easily de-escalated the situation. Because we've seen cops police other cops in de-escalate situations. We've seen it with our own eyes, just like we've seen him get gunned down in front of his three kids in a damn car. Hypothetically, just think for a minute. What if one of those bullets ricocheted off the steering wheel and bounced into one of those kids? What if? Just because you are trained with a gun doesn't mean when you fire it, it doesn't go somewhere else. You got three kids in the car. Like, you could tackle him. If you didn't see the video, you could see the video because it's on social media, up online. Going from the back end of the vehicle all the way around to the front, if you wanted to take him down, you have a taser, I'm assuming. You have something there other than the gun. You have your body to tackle him to the ground. I don't get it. It is scary, man. It really is. It growing up in South Central LA and seeing the way the police treated black people when I was growing up in South LA and seeing it now to this day, years and years later, it's crazy as hell. It scares me to death. As I was having a conversation with you before the show, Zubin, about my 8-year-old son. He's petrified of sirens. It does not have to be police sirens. It can be the fire department, the ambulance, going up and down the street, and he just tenses up, and you can see it. And he's all, I'm like, man, they're not coming to get us. We cool. But that's what they have done to young kids, especially young black kids. It's crazy. Just so crazy.
Your 8-year-old boy, Vance, I want to quickly mention here, it's 3 months to the day that George Floyd was killed. And so you mentioned the video and the poignant nature that that takes on and how that has changed the world. I am sure 99% of our audience is well aware of the story that we are telling, but just in case, just a very quick recap of what exactly we are talking about with a couple of specifics, and then we're going to hear from some of the NBA's biggest stars, and they are not holding back. Give me 30 seconds. We'll get right to George Hill, and we'll get to LeBron James. So the police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, lakefront city of about 100,000 people between Milwaukee and Chicago, shooting of an unarmed black man, Jacob Blake, on Sunday. Witnesses said he was trying to break up a domestic argument between a couple of women, walked back towards his SUV. As Jay said, with three of his sons looking on from the vehicle, an officer fired 7 times at his back at close range. All caught on videotape, as Keyshawn mentioned. He is expected to survive, as Jay mentioned, through his family. The officer has been placed on administrative leave.
Zubin, I did read a report where there was a tussle. And I'm not sure if this is factual or not, but there was a tussle between him and the officers and that he was tasered. And then the situation escalated as he was going back to his car, and you hear things of he was about to grab a knife. Here's my thing. If you have multiple officers who are carrying, and if somebody is about to grab a knife, a gun wins a knife fight every time. 1,000, 1,000,000% of the time.
With 7 bullets.
There is no need to pop 7 bullets in his back because he has a knife. There's so many other ways you can handle that situation than when somebody's back is turned to you, shooting them 7 times in the back.
George Hill plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. They won their game yesterday. They're up 3-1. That seems like such a trite thing to say, but I do want to mention that obviously they play in the home state where all of this took place. He's in his second season with Milwaukee, and he made it perfectly clear right now with everything going on in the world, the players have no recourse and have no business being in the bubble.
I mean, we can't do anything. First of all, we shouldn't even came to this damn place, to be honest. I think coming here just took all the focal points off of what the issues are. But we're here, so it is what it is. You know, we can't do anything from right here. But I think definitely when this all settles, you know, some things need to be done. I think this world has to change. I think our police department has to change. Us as a society has to change. And right now we're not seeing any of that. You know, lives are being taken, you know, as we speak day in and day out. And there's no consequence or accountability for it. And that's what has to change.
So I feel the same sentiment to a degree with George Hill. I am very frustrated. Key, we're both very pissed off by this whole situation, and we have been for a very long time. But I also vehemently disagree with George Hill. So the alternative is that these players are not in the bubble during a pandemic, and they are out in the streets and maybe protesting, even though protests have not been at the same rate that they have been a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And I wonder where George Hill's voice would be heard. Now, maybe they, you know, a couple of local beat writers would have picked it up, would have been national news potentially. But George Hill is on national TV right now with his words being heard, being spoken about on our show. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for him being in the bubble, being allowed to have that opportunity, we never hear from George Hill. We probably hear from LeBron James. We hear from maybe a Kevin Durant, maybe a Kawhi Leonard, if Kawhi would speak about it, mm-hmm. maybe Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. But we don't hear from George Hill. So the opportunity, the way that these players can be amplified in the bubble would be the counter argument to George Hill saying, we should even be here, damn it. Like, I do think this is allowing them to be heard, and it allows the conversation to continue at such a high volume that it maybe would not have been had at if they weren't in the bubble.
Fair enough. Other Wisconsin sports luminaries, Aaron Rodgers, Brewers manager Craig Counsell, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, all weighing in. Hopefully we'll hear from them throughout the morning, but this is a gigantic story. Still to come, the Lakers, as I mentioned, took a 3-1 series lead, but for LeBron, it was way bigger than basketball. His emotionally charged comments are on the way.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning from the South Street Seaport Studios. It's a beautiful Tuesday. If you're watching us this morning on ESPN News, if you're with us on ESPN Radio, the app, your smart speakers, we really appreciate it. It is a complicated day, that is for sure. We're going to get right back into the biggest sports discussion and the biggest conversation that's transcending sports in just a moment. But first, let's go from A to Z. And a reminder, A to Z is brought to you by Redbox. Clemson is ranked number one in the 2020 Associated Press preseason top 25 poll. Ohio State a close number two, followed by Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and LSU.
But Ohio State's not playing this year, right?
Correct. So when Clemson loses at any point, Ohio State at 0-0 will be ascending to the number one spot. They would be undefeated, Jay. So obviously that would be a great spot for Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. Key, you're looking at me crazy.
You know, I'm just looking, why would you even put this poll up?
Like,
Why did AP even release a preseason poll when most of college football is probably not even going to take place in play?
You know what that is, Key? That's money. That's money on the screen right now.
Well, according to Nick Saban, it's not about money.
It's about the players. We'll hear from Saban a little bit later. Albert Pujols, speaking of players, passed A-Rod for second on the all-time RBI list. He's now 210 behind Hammer and Hank Aaron.
Yo!
Babe is unofficially number two. RBI guys did not become an official stat until 100 years ago. And Key, you're a SoCal guy. It's really unfortunate he's playing his career out in anonymity there in Orange County.
Yeah, I am a SoCal guy, but they're like the Clippers to us. We don't really – it's not the same. It's not the same as the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the team. The Angels are up the road in South Orange County. It's kind of like we'll accept them if they get there. But it's all about the Dodgers.
He should be putting that on a billboard for Artie Moreno, Mr. Billboard. The 76ers have dismissed head coach Brett Brown after seven seasons.
That took a long time.
The least surprising news in NBA history, Jay.
Wow.
Well, we talked about it yesterday on our show. How will he last till Friday? So obviously, Elton Brand and the Sixers was listening to that conversation about cleaning out his desk and made a decision. Yeah, why don't we just pack up now?
I knew I should have took the under. Damn it.
And speaking of Elton, he will continue. Elton Brand, the GM, the former player, will continue to oversee basketball operations. That's according to Woj. But Woj also says the personnel and structure in the front office in and around Elton Brand is going to have some significant evaluation and change.
Now I'm confused. What does that mean? What does that mean? So he has control, but he doesn't have control?
That's exactly what that means.
It means you have a title just because we like you, but when it goes down, we don't need you.
So I'm going to make you dance, essentially.
Tap dance.
Yeah.
From A to Z, brought to you by Redbox. Don't miss the Redbox 15K Summer Sweepstakes. Rent or buy any Sony movie for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. For official rules and to learn more, including free entry via email, visit redbox.com/15K sweeps. We'll talk a little bit more about exactly what the Sixers should do with our front office insider, Bobby Marks. That's coming up in about 11 minutes. He spent over 20 years in the Nets front office, and they got a couple of very interesting issues percolating as well. So Bobby will talk Sixers. He'll talk the Nets now moving on with a new era with the fully healthy Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving now that they are essentially moving on to the next era of Brooklyn basketball. Jay, we had to take a commercial break because that's what we do here. And Key, we had to do it. But the conversation that we had, if you're just joining us, has been pretty heated, pretty passionate, with a lot of the players weighing in on some of the social justice after the latest tragedy in the country. You had mentioned that your son, who is 8 years old, has been affected. You're 48 years old. You've been affected. I'm 42. Jay is 38. Our audience is far and wide, men, women, older, younger, all races, all backgrounds, who can all sort of agree that this is another travesty. And the next time it happens, I don't think people are going to be surprised, because there is going to be a next time.
Well, it's been a next time and a next time and a next time. It's just, the next time, will it be on camera? And the next time, will it be someone who actually loses their life opposed to being in critical condition and sitting in a hospital? It's just one of those deals, man. I don't know where to start with it at. I know we all sit around and we talk about why it continuously happened over and over and over and over to the point of no return. And you try and do everything from voting, because November is going to be extremely important, like to a whole nother level. Probably the most important in my lifetime that I could think of.
It could be anybody's lifetime. He's talking generational change here.
Exactly. And so it's just, when you watch things like what happened in Wisconsin, where, you know, you can make all the excuses about whether or not we're hearing that he was tased. I didn't see that on video. All I see is a guy going from one end of a car, around the car, to the front of the car. Whether he was in physical confrontation with them, I don't see that. I don't see anything. I just see a video from an apartment building across the street. I don't see body cams.
Yeah, and I'm hearing reports that some body cams potentially weren't on. Like, I want to see what the body cams have to show.
No, they didn't have body cams.
Oh, I thought it was mandated that you have to wear a body cam. Apparently, I thought that's for every officer.
Apparently, in this particular, from what I read, apparently in this particular police department, the funds have not been available to purchase the cams, so they don't have them. But they want to know if the dash cam is on inside the car. But I don't know where the police car was at to be able to see all those things. And, you know, as a black athlete, I do at times get the benefit of the doubt in some things in life. There's no question about it. And I'm not going to apologize one bit for it. But as a black human being, take the athlete part away, I'm fearful at times of my own damn life. As I told you, I said I never really felt this way ever, like uncomfortable walking dogs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Never felt uncomfortable. But over the last couple years, last 2.5, 3 years, feel really uncomfortable with certain situations. Feel uncomfortable walking my dogs at night, because it's not even necessarily about the police. It's about anybody at all that could pull out a gun, shoot me, and claim I'm trying to break in a car. They thought I was going to break in a car. Because we see this sort of stuff every single day. We just don't hear about it from a national news standpoint, but it's happening every day.
But I will tell you who does speak about it whenever he gets the opportunity from a national standpoint. Of course, that is LeBron James. He has been out there at his post-game Zoom press conferences with a cap on that says more than an athlete with the Nike swoosh. He's walked out there with an 846 referencing George Floyd on his breast pocket of his T-shirt. Verbal and nonverbal cues have been strong, and you want to hear some verbally strong LeBron. Here he is. After the game, yeah, they go up 3-1. Yeah, he looked great again. Yeah, he didn't look at 35 at all. He was turning back the clock, which we'll discuss later when it seems appropriate. But here's LBJ in the starkest of terms about what he feels in a kinship with Key. He does not feel safe in this country.
Quite frankly, it's just up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as Black people. In America, Black men, Black women, Black kids, we are terrified because you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea how that cop that day left the house. You don't know if he woke up on the good side of the bed. You don't know if he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You don't know if he had an argument at home with a significant other. You know if one of his kids said something crazy to him and he left the house steaming. Or maybe he just left the house saying that today is going to be the end for one of these Black people. That's what it feels like.
It's so true, man. And you know, it's so fascinating to me hearing people and how reckless they are with their comments. You know, when LeBron says things like that, and people say, "Whoa, you don't feel safe when you're in your $13 million home?"
No, he does not, because he got to leave that house at some point.
Exactly. And by the way, there was racial slurs on his gate in Brentwood back in the day. Remember that whole thing, right?
Yes,
so imagine
absolutely.
That. People, you have an incredible home, and you walk out. There's a racial slur, and you have your two sons and your kids, and you're like, "Well, damn, what do I do when my kids leave the home? If I'm a target, what happens to my kids?" And LeBron James isn't speaking just for LeBron James. Like, LeBron James is also extremely fortunate, like Kia just made mention to. He's speaking for the millions of people that are voiceless, that where this happens to every single day, but there can't be attention brought to it because it happens in the shadows.
And when people start to make those type of comments that, you living in your $13 million house, so damn what? So what? He still got to leave the gates. You think police aren't in Brentwood pulling people over?
And what is that? What does that make you feel?
I lived in Calabasas. Okay? Lily White, you think I haven't been pulled over? Of course. But I've been given the benefit of the doubt because once they open up the door and they realize, they're like, "Oh, okay, cool. But I knew why you was really pulling me over. You was really pulling me over because the only thing you could see was a Black dude driving a car." I get it. I understand it. So let's not act like he's supposed to just stay in his house and only go to the Staples Center to play basketball. His kids are only supposed to get driven or drive to their school to play basketball. He's still got to walk the streets. He's human. Like, people are crazy in this world, man. Really, they are. You would think that the individuals that, maybe I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt, but you would think that individuals that get on these damn social media things and hide and make their little smart-ass comments would have some damn sense. Because it could be them one day. It doesn't necessarily just have to be them.
For most people, it won't be them. Because most people don't know what those experiences would be. That's why they make those comments.
But what I'm saying, when I say them, not them personally, but somebody close to them. It could be a dear friend, a loved one. It doesn't necessarily have to be you directly.
Can I say this too, Key? Is our society so tribal that we've all lost the ability to be empathetic? Have we all lost the ability to relate
to people? Never had morals to begin with. That's why they say the stupid stuff that they say and believe the stupid things that they believe. Because they've always been the same people that make these comments are not trying to understand where we are and the things that we go through. This is something that's been going on for years, man. This is not anything new. This is not anything new.
So let's talk about this. Just the difference between right and wrong, okay? Right and wrong. Like, let's keep it that simplistic. So hypothetically, say they were in a scuffle, okay? Say he did get tased. Say he did have a knife on him. Say maybe he was going to his truck to grab his gun. Hypothetically, right? you still shoot him in the back seven times if he's going to grab a gun? If you take a pop in the leg, you put him down, you wrestle, you get him to the floor. Seven times? Well, seven times?
As they would say, they can't take that chance. You never know.
And as Key and both guys have indicated, unless you are directly impacted by any incident, it doesn't seem like you can really grasp the full effect of it. But when you are pulled into it, you know somebody that has coronavirus. Now you feel differently about coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's a little bit detached. We're going to have this conversation throughout the morning. If you're listening to us virtually or working at home virtually, I hope you can hang with us a little longer than you normally do. I know you got priorities and a job, but we are going to be passionate about this all the way through 10 a.m. Eastern today. Still to come, the Sixers have a passionate fan base. They need a big-time coach. So do the Nets. Would you rather coach Embiid and Simmons or Kyrie and KD? We'll ask our front office insider.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you, Key.
A little baseball.
A little baseball there.
Who needs Jeff Passan? We don't even need Passan anymore. I mean, we have Keys in the house. Bobby Marks joins us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Bobby spent more than two decades working in the Nets front office. He started working for Coach Cal, I believe, as a college intern and worked his way all the way up. And he's got great perspective. He joins us this morning. Key, take it away.
Bobby, now that there's a seat that's open up in Philadelphia, who's the next guy in line to get that chair?
Well, I mean, I think you could probably go two different directions, right? I mean, if you want the coach who has, you know, been part of a championship team, it's probably Ty Lue, who's handled veterans before. I think if you want to, steal a page out of Toronto, I mean, when Dwayne Casey was let go, nobody really knew who Nick Nurse was. And you can probably go with a guy like Ime Udoka, who's been there, I think this is only his first year there. So I think you can go internal or you can go kind of outside, outside of the family there. I think the logical name is probably Ty Lue, just probably from the experience standpoint. I mean, this is not you're not walking into a rebuild of young players, draft picks, although Simmons and Embiid are, still in the prime of their career here. And you're going to have a coach that is creative. Because let's face it, you're married to this roster for right now because of where the expenses are.
Bobby Marks is with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 20 years in NBA front offices. Bottom line here, Woj reported yesterday that basically the Sixers want to keep Embiid and Simmons together. The conventional wisdom is that might not happen. So in your thought, from a front office perspective, take salary into account, take moving these guys potentially, or the difficulty moving them into account. Embiid, Simmons, or as Woj said, Bobby, keep them both. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I would probably keep them both for right now. I mean, they're both, you don't have to do anything. I mean, the Simmons contract just is about to start, his rookie's contract, and you've got Embiid for another three years here. So I think whoever they hire, I think I want maybe a full year to see kind of where, you know, where they are. I think if you asked me as far as from a trade standpoint, who's more valuable than the other, I think Ben Simmons is more valuable than Joel Embiid. I really do. I think even with the injury with Simmons' knee here, I kind of think you kind of know what you're getting with Ben. We're at this point right now, and guys, I think eventually we're going to have to start holding Joel Embiid accountable a little bit more than maybe what's being out there, because it's kind of like the same song and dance that we've seen the last couple of years from him. So, but yeah, I think from a trade standpoint, I would probably hold on to both. I don't know if I'd do anything with Tobias Harris, because if I move Tobias Harris, and I don't know where his value is right now, and he's got $140 million, then you still have the Al Horford problem. So it's kind of like I said, you know, it's like moving, chairs on the Titanic, right? It looks good in one spot, but it's the boat's still going to sink here. So there's a lot of work to do. I mean, there really is. I mean, they've got 5 draft picks. We'll see what happens in October. They've got to improve their shooting off the bench there. You're probably going to lose Alec Burks, who's a free agent here. But, probably the second most expensive roster in the NBA next year. We went from a real good story 3 years ago to now it's an overpriced house.
Bobby, there's no hiding of my short run with the Nets and the fact that you officially cut me when you were a part of the management organization. So I won't hold that against you with my Nets question. This pipe dream of Greg Popovich coming to the Nets, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that was mentioned, and it's kind of like has spread like wildfire, right, Jay? I mean, I get it, right? I mean, Sean worked in San Antonio and played for Pop. We're probably trying to connect the dots here where, you know, Pop has got a young team. It's not a championship roster. If he wants one more crack at it, then you could probably do it in Brooklyn here. I would be really surprised if that's the kind of that's where, Brooklyn is going. I think Jaquan will get a really good look. But as I wrote in the Nets offseason article, it's one thing from coaching, a group of no-name guys in the Orlando bubble who are playing their tails off and are competing to when you get KD and you get Kyrie back and you get Spencer and DeAndre, and now you have that championship aspirations here. So that's another, that's another appealing. I think it's more appealing than Philadelphia, definitely. But yeah, it would be hard for me to see, Pop leaving, San Antonio. But hey, we work in the NBA and we've seen crazier things happen before.
It just still hurts my feelings that you cut me, Bobby.
That was probably one of the hardest decisions I think I've ever had to been a part of. So I'm sorry 25 years later.
It's all good.
20 years later.
It's all good.
Speaking of cut, we'll see tonight if the Jazz can finally cut down the Nuggets and take care of business, and the Clippers and the Mavericks are now a best of 3 NBA double dip. We'll be watching. Bobby, I know you will be too. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, Key. So you just heard Bobby mention a lot of interesting things there, including the NBA's oldest coach on the move at the age of 71 after being with just basically one organization his entire career, that he led to 5 championships. A lot to discuss there. What's your biggest takeaway?
I would say that the Ty Lue situation for Philly, when you think about there are going to be other job openings, you still got Brooklyn, obviously Chicago and Philadelphia, the New Orleans situation.
Houston, potentially.
So it's going to be his to pass up no matter what. Because they're all going to try to get him. Now it's just going to be him sitting back as a former head coach, NBA champion, to be able to say, what do I want to really do? Where does my future lie? Do I want to mess around with 2 stars in Brooklyn? Do I want to mess around with 2 stars in Philly? Do I want to go through a headache and try to change a whole mentality in Houston? Do I have enough with a Zion in New Orleans? I mean, he's got the luxury, right?
What makes him so attractive that he could go into any of those disparate situations and you think he would work?
Well, first of all, the players, they like him. So that's the way you start at.
Number one.
That's number one. Do the players like the coach? Then can he coach? Now, he will never get the true benefit of the doubt till he leaves LeBron James and becomes a head coach.
It's fair.
Because people are going to say LeBron was running the team, blah, 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 LeBron, LeBron, LeBron.
What?
That's
and
just what people, that's how they do things, right?
Then those people know nothing about basketball.
But that's what they're saying. Think about it. When he was up for the Laker job, the only reason why he was getting it is because he coached LeBron and he can manage LeBron. But that's not true. You know, he played basketball. He knows how to coach basketball. But in the world of coaching, these sort of things happen. They put the little whispers out there because they're hating on him. And that's the way it goes. But he's got an opportunity to be a coach in four or five spots that'll be open.
Ty Lue's one hell of a coach, and he's going to get a blank check. And what makes him special is that he manages personalities. He manages strong personalities. His X's and O's are good, but managing personalities is even more important in today's league because that's what you need, the superstars. Eric Spoelstra is one of the most underrated coaches. Imagine managing LeBron James, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh, right? Making sure that all those things mesh. Now, I know somebody can say, well, I can coach that team. No, you could not. Not with LeBron James's ego, D. Wade's ego. They weren't always working collectively at the same time on all cylinders. And I will say this. I don't think Udoka is going to be the option for the 76ers. He's been there. And my question towards that would be, well, how come he didn't give Brett Brown the blueprint while he was there? Even though he was only at the organization for a year or two, he was there. He had a chance to do that.
Well, maybe Brett Brown didn't want to listen to the situation.
That's fair, too.
If you go back and you think about Phil Jackson had to take over, they didn't want to listen to him, right? At first, when he became the head coach of Chicago Bulls, they was this, that, and then all of a sudden, he got the job, and the triangle lived forever. So maybe Brett Brown just was like, no, I don't want to. I'm going to do it my way. If I'm going down, I'm going down my way.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season. It's Sport Clips haircuts. All stylists are clean certified and guys smart. It's also time for Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Key, let's talk about it here.
Oh, hold on a second. I was going to finish my comment real quick.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
The coach for this job is Jay Wright. He's Jay Wright.
Right down the street, right?
He's been in your backyard. It feels like for 20 years.
That conversation came up, what, last year or the year before?
I think it was the year before.
The year before.
But here's what I will say about Jay Wright. People will question, for all these guys, well, he's a college coach. How can Jay Wright has managed personalities. He's been part of USA Basketball for the longest time. I played USA Basketball with Jay Wright. I've seen him on the same staff as Billy Donovan, who's been able to make the transition to OKC, one of the best coaches there is, especially with the job he's done this year with OKC. Look what they've done the last couple of games. It's 2-2 with Houston, right? He's been underneath the regime of Greg Popovich, USA Basketball, spent time with Jerry Colangelo. His style that he's done at college is actually very relatable to the way that styles are made in the NBA. Fast-paced, three-point shooting, guard-driven league. Him and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, if you decide to keep those two together, I think his relatability to players, but also he will make them accountable. One of the biggest issues I have with Brett Brown, you say you're going to come in the season and force Ben Simmons to shoot threes? Force him to shoot threes. Don't let Ben Simmons just kind of wallygag around and float. Hold his feet to the fire. Jay Wright could do that. He's already in your backyard. Make it happen, Philly. Make it happen.
Let me throw this one back at you, and I want to mention that Donovan was top three for Coach of the Year this year, so he was certainly recognized by his peers. Jay Wright himself has said, and you know him way better than I, so I'm not going to even pretend like I've talked to the guy. You know him and played under him in USA Basketball. He has said one of the things he loves about being Villanova's head coach, and he says it tongue planted firmly in cheek, nobody pays attention to us until the Eagles have been eliminated from the playoffs or have won the Super Bowl. So he loves that sort of
job security.
He's like Mark Few at Gonzaga or whoever's the
head coach,
you know?
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, I run this place. I'm the dominant team in my league. I do whatever I want. I built this infrastructure. I built the equity. Nobody's questioning me. So in some senses, is the job he has after winning two of the last three national championships, let's mention that too, in college basketball, does he just have a job that's maybe just too good to leave?
Yeah, a lot of times that is the case with these coaches. You're relaxed. Your environment is comfortable. You don't need to take on any more stress, added stress. Now, one would say, well, he could hit it big, Lotto. I mean, they could basically hand him a blank check and say, fill it in. But sometimes it's not all about the money. They're comfortable. They know I could be here 10 years and be good. I could be there three and be on the streets.
You don't think Coach K flirted around with the Lakers' opportunity? The opportunity to coach Kobe Bryant. You don't think he thought about it? I'm telling you, he thought about it.
Oh, I'm sure
he legitimately thought about it. And it's not only the blank check. I think a lot of it is key. You said it correctly, being comfortable. Where are you with your family? Things of that sort. All I'm saying is that it gets to a certain point where Jay Wright, it seems like I've been thinking about this for a long time because I've known him doing college basketball. He's always been like an NBA guy to me. He's always been an NBA guy.
He carries himself.
Yeah, he's right? The guy that can come over and say, hey, Keyshawn, come over here. I want to talk to you about this. What's happening at home? Okay, I would probably do it this way. Oh, you got some issues? Let's talk to me about it. He's always had that relatability to his players where he's been able to get the best out of them. And when I think about, we talk about Philly not having the leadership, mm-hmm. not having somebody who's strong and bold, but also can tell players what they need to do. I can only imagine Jay Wright talking to Joel Embiid. I can only imagine Jay Wright communicating to Ben Simmons. I think they would find him way more relatable and listen to him more than what they did with Brett Brown.
And that may be the case, but coaches, again, they sometimes just want to chill. I mentioned Gonzaga and Mark Few. I had a conversation with him last year. We were doing something together, and I was just telling him about we were talking about UCLA. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, on the slide, won't you take that UCLA job? It's cool. He's like, yeah, I'm good, big dog. I'm happy being up in the Pacific Northwest. Nobody bothers me. I'm just running my deal. I'm good. I'm like, okay.
Interesting. So, right, two of the last four national championships. The question is, would he be the right move for Philly?
That's no pun intended.
No pun intended. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Real quick, Jay, this is something that you've been so passionate about since we started talking about all of these things when we launched last Monday with this program, and that is college sports. Do you think the place that college sports is in, the uncertainty that you have spoken about, could that change the way coaches feel about jumping to the NBA? Because despite all the obstacles that they have, the NBA is moving on. We're going to have a 75th season at some point, whereas college basketball is completely in flux at the moment.
We're going to have college sport. I mean, look, we're having college football this year. And as much as Key and I disagree with it, we're having college football.
Seems that way.
And it feels like we're going to have college basketball. I think college basketball is easier to do in some of these regional bubbles. So I don't think that really has a lot of influence on the decision ultimately. But what I will say, it's hard to turn down $10 million. And I've heard coaches say this. John Calipari and I have talked about this. And JC, he's been on the show. He's my boy. Somebody says, hey, look, we're going to offer you a four-year, $40 million deal. If your college offers you a four-year, $13 million deal, that's X amount of millions of dollars over that deal where you can always come back to college.
Correct.
And have that visibility and credibility. Yes, exactly. You keep leveraging your position, and it gives you a second life as well.
And eventually, the pandemic hopefully will be over.
Fair enough. I agree with you. Bucks, Lakers, big wins, but what they said in big ways afterwards was resonating more. We're back.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.